call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, the automatically deleted husband, and I did have a busy day, so I'm going to do just really brief, I think. but, you know, I did take a hike to get new heels on my shoes, my boots, and got to the store. Found out from the sign on the door that they close at 1 on Wednesdays. And yes, they were closed. Oh, what timing. But I did some more study on this 1946, the movie, and in the process, I got really concerned, because in listening to the woman who is the producer, I heard Erica Lee. In so many things, you know, when I hear the interview she did with the harmonic atheist and listen to this woman and heard the same thing. Obviously not the same person, but it concerns me. So I did watch this interview and, you know, a couple of things I caught. The pastor who was hosting this program used a whole bunch of foul language. And one of the things I caught was that one of his lines was that early on at the church he was pastor of, he did not do same-sex marriage because the leadership of the church was concerned that it would impact the tithing. In other words, he didn't initially do it because of money. Apparently that changed. But do you think there's any different in, let's say, oh, I don't know, a PCA church? I would say a resounding no. It's the exact same. It's the exact same. I heard a statement about the concern was we want to have diverse voices rather than sound evidence. I mean, their term was, I'm saying sound evidence. Their interest was diverse voices. You know, it's analogous to the thing I mentioned, because, you know, the thing I thought about was how NASA, when the, you know, greatest Artemis of the Americans, the Artemis space program, when they did the flight around the moon a couple months ago, I guess now, it is. And when the capsule was going around the moon, what was the thing? We're looking forward to having a person of color and a woman on the moon. So it's not. We're looking for the most qualified people to do this. We're doing this for political reasons. So when we talk about diverse voices, I would suggest it's the same thing. We want to get everybody in the club. What our club is based on? Well, just it's based on everybody. It's not based on what is sound or what is true. Another comment was made by somebody. They're concerned about the dogma over data person. In other words, you know, and see, there's a problem with the terms. There is a dogma in the sense that this is what we believe, and no questions. There is data as in evidence, and you know, okay, this may be true, but we have our dogma, so we don't look at the evidence. But that's exactly what they're doing. Their dogma is the homosexuality, to embrace that. And again, what I find fascinating is what their term is for somebody who is accepting of homosexuality is they are affirming. They're using a very positive term. And it's interesting that this is on the table again, because I'm also in two dialogues, as I mentioned, on truth. And I will go back to, John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life, said by Jesus. So he is the embodiment of truth. He defines truth. And then a few chapters later, Pilate asks, looking straight at Jesus, says, what is truth? When he's looking at the embodiment of truth. And I find that so fascinating. Which, one of the things I would say you can see in that is you can look at truth, but you're blind to it if you don't want to see it. Well, isn't there a verse that seems to be very relevant on this? Because what is the subject matter of the 1946, the movie? Homosexuality? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. They look at him straight in the face and they say, no, he's not there. That's not true. For what we can know about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his external power, divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they're without excuse. Though they knew God, they did not honor him or gave thanks to him, and they became futile in their thinking, and foolish hearts were darkened. Foolish in their thinking, claiming to be wise, they became fools. And what do we see in this that interview? People say, oh, we are wise. We understand now. We have progressed. We're wise. They became fools. Exchange the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds and animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up to the lust of their heart, to impurity, to dishonoring their bodies among themselves. Because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For the women exchanged natural relations with those who were contrary to nature. Again, the woman who produced this movie is a lesbian. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men, receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. You know, the whole basis of this movie is they look at the word arsenikoite. They basically say what it means, but they look at somebody saying that we may have used the wrong word in 1946, therefore 1946, the movie, for the RSV translation. And they're running with that idea. And in the interview, I heard a lot of twists and turns about, well, yes, there is this talk, but it's not homosexuality based on love. It's particular cases worse. It's not. Anyway, they're twisting the language, and they're using this excuse. I would suggest claiming to be wise, they became fools. Anyway, what I see in this, is what I've heard from Erically. She's my daughter. Jack, I haven't heard much from, but he's my son. Both Erically and Jack. Erically, I think you described yourself as bisexual, and Jack, homosexual. These are my kids. My kids, who, claiming to be wise, they became fools. And God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. By the way, this is Romans 1, in case. Anyway. These are my kids. So, what I've been doing, and I probably spent way too much time in it today in the wrong direction, but at least I'm, as I mentioned, I'm trying to get where the user interface for, well, the underlying structure that allows you to see what's happening communications-wise, how a message is processed, and so forth. That's been working for some time. And I have the basic mechanics in place for a long time to, you know, browse through a website. Because, you know, I very much use things by date and by number. In the process, again, I'm trying to have the same tools. So the tools for navigating, the tools, the way it works internally and whatnot, it's one effort. Slightly different use, but it's one effort. And so when you work with one and you work with the other, it's the same mindset with both. And what I find has happened is when I work with one, then I go to the other and I say, well, actually, I can do a little bit better over here. And that makes this a little bit better. And now I work over here. Oh, that makes this a little bit better. And so I've been going back and forth a little bit, and I got to get back to the actual messaging. But in the process, what I did is, you know, I'll give you a link, and you can start with the one link, you know. Well, for example, the links that were there yesterday, I gave you, you know, the link to Robert Hoagland, and it's changed today because, you know, the objective here is if you click on that, you get to the scene from What is a Woman, and what I clipped out previously. And obviously, which I embedded in the email and the video yesterday, was part of the dialogue with him. And all they showed was a cell phone. And of course, he was the unidentified caller, and I identified him. So, and I did this back in August, where I took stills because they had the text overlays. So I gave you all those images. You know, it was, but so you can basically click in any of those images and you see the image with the text. So because I wanted you to see what he said, and especially, you know, I use the "I was not prepared to let this happen" idea, or I also use when he says, "Dad, where were you?" You know, and I was there fighting as hard as I could. So I've had those, but it's structured a little differently. So you can go to that particular link, and it gets you to that short video clip. And on the right, you'll see the all the images, and you can go around and look at the images, or you can go back and you can actually watch the video. But what this is within the "What is a Woman" section. So you can go to the top and you can get the "What is the Woman" video with a whole bunch of the links to, you know, things from the websites, various YouTube videos related to it, the links to that, the "What is the Woman" website, and even where you can find it in BitChute, but you don't have to because it's right there on my site. But I do have another clip. I decided to take that out just today, just to be quick, because I really think they closed the video extremely well. You talk with this one psychologist or whatever he is, some famous guy, I forget his name. but just, you know, ask your wife. So, you know, they had the closing scene where he's going home and he goes up to his wife and asks, you know, in this sheepish voice, "What is a woman?" And she says, you know, an adult female human or whatever. And then hands him a jar of pickles or whatever to open. And, you know, so it was really a well done scene. It was subtle comedy and so forth, and a nice little punch at the end. You know, because again, if you look at the dictionary definition, it used to be a woman was an adult female. But now I think it's the, not the Collins, the, that British one, whatever, dictionary now says a second definition of woman, someone who identifies as a woman. It's actually in the dictionary now, you know, so this is a way our culture is. But anyway, so you have the navigation there, but there's also another link, which is simply a link to Robert Hoagland. So this is that then moves you to his section. And what I have there, at least at this point, is just you get to him and there are two links. One is back to the What is a Woman video. And then one links you to the interviews he's had with Dan Dix at Press for Truth. And I have, right now there's 6 videos and they're there. So you can go and look at them all. And as you page through them, you have the navigation for him. You're remaining with him at Press for Truth, but it's no longer I have to search for this, but I can point to the fact that here's something from March 11, 2019 to March 18th of 2020. So you have a year's worth in 6 videos. And the first, I think the first 3, at least the first 2, he didn't identify him because there were, you know, Canada literally put a gag order. You cannot go to the press. And that's why he was called CD. And that's why in What is a Woman, they didn't identify him because Canada doesn't ever have free speech. And of course, in the U.S., it's rapidly disappearing. So here are the tools to do that. So it's kind of an experiment to navigate these things, because if I can do that with this, I want to be able to do it. For example, I was putting together notes because in dialogues today and previously, there has been a discussion of, you know, in the ESV, the term religion or religious is used, 6 times. And it comes from different words. Like the time in Acts, it's literally the idea of worshiping a demon, a demigod. And it's not a very polite idea. In the case of the James, if anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his heart. This person religious is worthless. Religion is pure and undefiled before God the Father. Is this to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and keep oneself unstained for the world? That's a different. This is a fearing or worshiping God. It's based on the idea to tremble. So of course you have the noun and the adjective. We see this in the worshiping of demons in Acts. There's 2 cases where you see the noun and the adjective. So it's you have to look at it in the structure of the structure of the sentence to see what's actually being said. But even in this, when religion is pure or true religion in some translations, it's not something that you say, I want to be religious. It's, as I've pointed out before, the term Christian is only used by what the world calls the follower of Christ. It's not the follower of Christ saying, I'm a Christian. And I think there's a lot to that. But anyway, I want to, just like I have the ability to link these things together, very easy. And if you go through that right now, I think you'll find it's very easy to go from one place to another. And it's blatantly obvious. How do I do that with the text of the Bible to make it blatantly obvious? Because you don't have the pictures. I mean, the Bible is not a picture book. So I want to do the same thing where the ideas flow just as rapidly. And again, the underlying technology for whether it's a video article or whatnot, whether it's the text of the Bible or whether it's the internals of Shofar Nexus to examine that, it's the same underlying technology. But part of the reason I did this is because I thought the 1946, the movie, was going to flop. I really think there's a real possibility, because what I'm hearing, I think, is more of an excuse than reality. The excuse they give is they're trying to get it into film festivals, and they can't get into a film festival once it's released publicly. And because people are complaining, how can I come see this? I can't buy it or anything of the nature. So they're trying to market for a distributor. They're saying it's so well received, but they don't have a distributor. And so there's a consistency problem here. If this is such a well-done thing and so well received, distributors would be after them rather than the other way around. So there's something fishy about this. And, you know, and of course, considering the fallacy of their arguments, I really don't know what's happening. So I still think there's the possibility this will collapse, but there is the possibility to get released. But no matter what, there's that underlying core of people who will say, I'm going to grab onto this. The example I've used when a couple of friends before I met Dorothy Jane, they got married, and I went to their wedding. After the ceremony, whatnot, we gathered at a country club, and there was the table set up with food and whatnot, and the crowd gathered, but no one approached the table because no one started. And there was kind of we can't go yet. And it was somebody needed to break the ice. And I think somebody asked me if I would. I walk up to the table to start. Walk up to the table, grab a plate. By the time I had the first item on the plate, I had a line behind me. Because I broke the ice. I set an example. Okay, now everybody can follow me. Now, obviously, there was no sin involved in coming to get to eat. This is what we came for. But it's that idea that I'm not going to go first. But once somebody does, I can do it. And I think what's happening with the 1946 movie and things like that is every little one of these things breaks the ice. And it opens the door to others to say, okay, I can do that too. Eric Lee and Jack have already, to use the Star Trek term, gone over to the dark side. Star Wars, excuse me. Don't get my movie straight. But I also have Tirza. I don't know where she stands. I have Julia. I have George. I have Susanna. I have Glory Jane. I have Walter and Zadok. I want to shout to them, no, don't go here. Not by saying, let me stop you, but by pointing you, it goes, oh, gee, I don't want you to claim to be wise and become a fool. Because for what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. It's plain in front of you. And I'm your dad. And Deuteronomy 6 is clear. I am called to proclaim to my kids my Lord, their Lord, to encourage them to grab on to the Lord as strong as you can and hold on and never let him go. Genesis 32. I want to encourage them to do that. And I won't abandon them. I know what abandonment is like. I've seen employers do it. Various other collectives do it. The institutional church do it. And my own family, especially my wife, do it. And I want to make this commitment yet again. I won't. I have, in the last couple of weeks especially, three people who we disagree on some things. And it's not that I'm dogmatic in the sense of I won't listen to reason. But the problem, I think, is when somebody says, here's the evidence. Let me point you to scripture. This is what the Lord says. You got to respond by saying, you're too dogmatic. I can't talk to you. And I've heard these words. Or you have to offer silence because you're a coward. Or you can search the scripture and see if these things are so. One has ended kind of polite, and I don't. There's another gentleman who I intend to write right after this because he's too important to me to let go. I'm investing a lot of time in him. Because the issue there is, what is truth? He's asking Pilate's question, and I keep pointing to Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. And of course, with Chris, the joy I have with Chris is we acknowledge, we both, Jesus Christ is creator. He's the embodiment of truth. He is, the reason we exist is because of him. I mean, if he says, okay, I'm done, there's nothing we can do. It's over. It's all at his discretion. We acknowledge that. But we struggle constantly to refine each other. What a joy. To refine each other, to encourage each other. Another gentleman, we're disagreeing and there are some struggles. But there's no abandonment. And that's vital. And when somebody says, we're followers of Christ, we have our institution, we follow Christ, but we're going to abandon that man. The term hypocrite comes to mind. I figured I'd do 10 minutes and less. Eric Lee and Jack are important to me. I haven't written them off. I have a lot of this stuff from this 1946 group, and a little bit more of it. They had it was fascinating, year ago, whatever it was, I saw it, I watched it, and I downloaded it. There was an interview, there was a video on their site, and it was said, a non-affirming pastor says whatever. And the guy's from Nashville, or just north of Nashville, I think. And when you looked at all their videos, you know, a few thousand, maybe a few hundred, a few thousand, and this one had like 100,000 plus. I mean, it had more views on that than all the other stuff combined, I think. It's gone. But it's not yet, but probably tonight, tomorrow, this weekend, whatever. It'll be on Kozlowski.org, that interview. And I think I'm going to write that guy and tell him, by the way, here it is. Because, you know, he may not have it. But anyway, because, you know, I'll stop. My lady, my wife. You know, I'm a little bit older than my wife. Almost 14 years. And most people who are, most men that I know who are my wife's age are probably not in as good health as I am. I made a promise to her to do what I can to live to be 90. My lady, my wife, I'm keeping the promise because I love you and I want you back.